We went to New York, and we specifically were in the NYU area. So we stayed at the Washington Square Hotel, where Bob Dylan used to visit when he was on tour, and then actually went to McDougal Street, where he had an apartment. That's where the Dylanologist went through his garbage. And then, so
no detail is too small.
Not for fans of Bob Dylan. And then what was so exciting, Café Wa, which is... when Bob Dylan went to New York in 1961, the first night, he played a hootenanny there, and the club is still there, and they're still having, you know, live music. And so, to me, it was so exciting. And the weirdest thing in the world is, in this four-block area around Washington Square, where NYU is, you have Café Wa, you have the Blue Note, and then you have Electric Ladyland Studios. You think about all the incredible music that was produced in this four-block area. It is just so amazing.
It's exciting that a place like that can result in such bounty. Bob Dylan still hasn't taken the call of the Nobel Committee. Is that true to his personality?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure he's pleased. But, you know, he's been on this never-ending tour since 1988. On the day that it was announced, he had a show in Las Vegas and just did the show. That's Bob.
Will he ever recognize it in a formal way, do you think?
I think he will. In fact, I think he's going to show up and pick up the medal. And yeah, I think it'd be so wonderful if he plays something like Masters of War, because Nobel, the people who, you know, who give the award, famous, you know, creator of Dynamite. So, I mean, I see it in Bob's career to kind of criticize those people who even praise him.
Let's listen a little bit to that.
Come, you masters of war, you that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind discs, I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy, you play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes, and you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly.
Another possibility, I suppose, could be all along the Watchtower.
Oh, yes. All along the Watchtower, I've been thinking about it, because it's the perfect theme song, unfortunately, for this presidential debate. It seems like we're seeing the two candidates almost in apocalyptic terms, and All Along the Watchtower is a brilliant song, and I think this is one of the cases where it's actually Jimi Hendrix's version that is even better than Bob's, but they're both good.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth.
How do the lyrics fit our time today?
Well, it's about the dangers of the world, how something terrible is in the air, the wolf begins to howl, and the tune and the words just show us that something bad is about to happen. And unfortunately, I think many of us in the United States really have
been through that. And this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now. The hour is getting late.
Bob Dylan is not always a great songwriter. There are bad songs, too. What's your favorite worst song of Bob Dylan's?
It seems to me the most recent album, which is of songs made famous by Frank Sinatra, he does Autumn Leaves, and that's not great. It's interesting. Some Enchanted Evening is on that from South Pacific. And Bob has never been a super great singer. And luckily, these are not songs that he wrote. But yeah, Country Pie, you know, some of the Country Bob is just embarrassing. And then the album that I think ranks as the worst Bob Dylan album is Christmas Is in My Heart, his Christmas album. And Must Be Santa is pretty bad.
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes round on special night?
Santa comes round on special night.
Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who wears boots and suit of red?
Santa wears boots and suit of red.
Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head.
Cap on his head, suit of red. Special night, beard that's white. Santa, 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 who's got a big red cherry nose?
Santa's got a big red cherry nose.
Who laughs this way?
Okay. Well, we need to redeem ourselves after that one. Let's talk about his contribution to his era, the civil rights movement. What is his most iconic or alternatively most important a song from that period?
Bob Dylan wrote the classic, The Times They Are Changing.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. 'Cause the loser now will be later to win.
In some ways, for people of my generation, this encapsulates the 60s. But in fact, I think it encapsulates always the tension between young people, teenagers, and adults. Bob Dylan was one of the performers in 1962 on the March of Washington, where Martin Luther King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. He was involved in voter registration in the South. He has constantly been involved in political causes. Bob Dylan was the person from an offhand comment that got farm aid started. Bob has always been there looking out for the little person.
What is the enduring part of Dylan? I mean, there are these great songs, and the times will always be changing.
Yes.
As for parents and children, mm-hmm. Will always be that tension, just as a generational fact. But what keeps him fresh in other ways?
Dylan's songs are not stuck frozen in time. His songs are somewhat mysterious. They tell stories, but they're classic folk songs. He meshes folk with rock and roll, with rhythm and blues, gospel. He is a magpie when it comes to musical genres.
Some people sneer at the idea that Dylan's lyrics should be considered poetry. You're not one of those people. What elevates them to that level?
It strikes me as a little odd that people want to separate song from poetry, because if you study the history of poetry, you realize that it began with a musical accompaniment. The Psalms in the Old Testament, David, the Bards. Over time, some poetry has separated itself from the musical accompaniment. And more in our contemporary time period, where we are having poetry slams, live performances, we're going back to that. And Dylan, I think, has been at the forefront of that. It seems to me his lyrics are very, very powerful. And I think it's a bit of a false argument that he only writes songs. Another person who won the Nobel Prize for Literature was T.S. Eliot. T.S. Eliot famously gave poetry readings and discussions of criticism in football stadiums for 14,000 people. It's a book of T.S. Eliot's poetry, which is the basis for the musical Cats, okay? If we can understand that you can move from poetry to a Broadway musical, I think we can see that high-quality songs are simply a form of poetry.
Share with us a favorite lyric, would you?
I love Subterranean Homesick Blues. In fact, I would argue that you've all seen the video where he has the place cards putting it out. That's the first music video. It's just a clever wordplay, kind of surrealistic combination of words. So it begins, Johnny's in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The man in the trench coat, badge out, laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get paid off. Look out, kid. It's something you did God knows when, but you're doing it again. Better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. I love that.
John is in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, badge out, laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills, you only got 10. Maggie comes fleet-foot, face full of black soot, talking at the heat, put plants in the bed, but the phone's tapped anyway. Maggie says the men say they must bust.
You're giving it a rap rhythm.
Okay. Yes, and I don't have the gravelly Bob Dylan voice yet.
Something to work on there.
Yes, I will.
No, but is it no bad thing to give it a rap interpretation?
No, it seems to me poetry is meant to be read out loud. Another person who won the Nobel Prize for Literature was Eugene O'Neill, famous playwright. To read a play in a book is not a play. A play is to be performed. And it seems to me the poetry that Bob Dylan writes and performs is something to be experienced, you know, orally.
And it elevates us.
I think it does. There's no perfect poet for everyone, but he certainly speaks to me, and I think he speaks to a lot of people, not just in the United States, but worldwide. And I think that's one of the reasons that he was given this award, because it's an international award.
Let's go out with Knockin' on Heaven's Door.
Okay.
Jan Cecina, a Dylan fan and professor of English at ISU, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.